Our scripture reading today comes from the first chapter of Mark, verses 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The word of God for the people of God.
Last summer, when I spoke at the Wild Goose Festival in North Carolina, there was a woman and her daughter who came up to me, and we just got in a conversation. I mentioned to them that my daughter, who is about the same age as her daughter, was at the Taylor Swift concert in Denver. And this young woman in her 20s looked at me and she goes, "Well, why would your daughter do that? After all, you are my Taylor Swift." Oh, my goodness gracious. So, yeah, I guess I'm getting a reputation, except for the fact that I'm 30 years older and not dating a major NFL star. Good morning. I recently received a text message from another person who is quite well known, not Taylor Swift. In this case, another author, a person whom I admire very much. I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate this person and her work. Her message arrived to me unexpectedly, and it was kind, affirming, and a complete surprise. I had to read it a few times to make sure it was real. Indeed, I was completely astounded by what she wrote to me. I went into full fangirl mode. I felt amazed. I read it to my husband several times to make sure that it was real. I was giggling like a teenager, and I just felt pleasure throughout my whole body. I took a screenshot of it and texted it to my daughter, who also likes this writer, to prove that it had really happened. My husband said to me, "Well, that's a subtle mom brag, if nothing else." And I replied, "But it's just so amazing. I had to share." When was the last time something astonished and amazed you? When was that last time? Today's gospel reading is from Mark, the shortest and fastest paced of all the gospels. We literally jump from one thing to another in its pages. The lectionary has been following Mark for less than a month. We really began in earnest right after Christmas. And we've already read about Jesus' baptism, the calling of the disciples, and the beginning of his ministry. That's a lot in the first chapter, and we're not even through the first chapter yet. We've seen him teach, heal, and how on this Sunday, when the scripture was read, a story of him casting out demons. Now, we Christians typically read the Gospels to learn something about Jesus, and that, of course, makes tons of sense, and rightly so. These four very interesting pieces of literature, which tell us his story from four different perspectives. But for whatever reason, when I read the text for today, it wasn't Jesus with his authoritative wisdom or his miracle-working power who drew my attention. I couldn't help stop thinking about the crowd. These two sentences are central in this text. They were astounded at his teaching, and They were all amazed, and they kept asking one another, "What is this?" The crowd was astounded and amazed. The only person not astounded and amazed in this story is the one with the unclean spirit, the one who is released from his demons. He seems to know something, kind of the deal, the entire time. Throughout the text, he cynically taunts Jesus, daring the miracle-working rabbi who happens by the synagogue to take him on. But the others? Well, they are caught by surprise. The unexpected power of Jesus' words and deeds astounded and amazed them. And then, astounded and amazed, they told everyone they knew. They sent a text out, I guess. They spread the news across Galilee. The astonished and amazed crowd could not be shut up. Now, in some Christian circles, I would just stop right there, because that would make a very good sermon for Evangelism Sunday. But I'm not saying that. It isn't as if being astounded and amazed, the astounded and amazed crowd, just all became missionaries. Being astounded and amazed did something different, bigger, transformative. Being astonished and amazed rearranged their entire world. First, we're told in the text that being astounded and amazed challenged the social order around them. What? What? What is this, they said. And I just imagine the questions they were asking in their mind. What? This is Jesus, isn't it? Joseph's son? How is it he seems more authoritative than the scribes? He's a tradesman, a craftsman, just kind of a regular guy like one of us. But he seems wiser and has a stronger sense of who God is than our regular preachers, our regular readers. Second of all, the text really reveals the demonstration of the healing offers a different possibility. As it says quite simply, Jesus healed a man with an unclean spirit. Now, we read that and we go, oh yeah, Jesus works miracles all the time in the Bible. But the truth of it is that this was a Sabbath day. They were at a synagogue. They watched as Jesus, the guy just like them, the one who all of a sudden is talking as if he has a PhD in theology, they watched him cross a social and religious barrier to release an outcast from the demons that tormented him. So this Jesus, who is saying these brilliant and wise things, goes over to a person who they're supposed to ignore and heals him. So Jesus wasn't just like sharing a bunch of inspirational sayings, but he backed up his words with this incredible act of rule-breaking, hospitality, restoration, and justice. Now, if that's not amazing and astonishing, I don't know what is. And the crowd reacted that way. What is this? A new teaching with authority? See, the teaching was there. It wasn't just that he caught up and said, oh, I say to you in the name of God. No, his new teaching was backed by the authority of his actions. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and then actually did it in front of them, right there, so that they could all witness. They must have felt like, well, what is this? We have felt so alone. Here we are living in this outpost of the Roman Empire. Everyone hates us and the rest of the empire because we don't worship their gods. We're stuck in this cycle of poverty and functional taxing, enslavement. But maybe God hasn't left us alone. Maybe the prisoners really will be set free. Maybe the hungry really will be fed. Maybe rulers actually can be cast down. And certainly, we've already seen this, the poor can be lifted up. This is a fantastic story, this little tiny short story, just part of the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. I'm a writer by trade and I think just by personality. And that means when I read a story, one of the things I think about is, I wonder what the other story is. And so this amazing story, which I think it is an amazing story, about amazement, about a crowd who responds to Jesus' actions with this kind of wonder, made me think of what the alternative story might be. What if the crowd had neither been astonished nor amazed? What if they had just sat in the synagogue, yawning on that morning, worrying about all the other tasks, the things they had to do when they left, and perhaps thinking to themselves, oh, that Torah portion again, I've heard this one so many times. Or maybe they looked at the bulletin and said, a guest preacher. What if, upon seeing the miracle, the crowd had just shrugged and walked by? Another one of those grifter evangelists out to get my money, some probably thought. Or perhaps that miracle-working guy is just angling for his own program on TLC. They might have actually followed the lead of the unclean man. They might have responded to Jesus with a kind of bored cynicism or a vicious taunt. Hey, you, Holy One, do something about me. I dare ya. Change my life. As we gather this morning, I have to bring you some sad news before I can bring you good news. And that is, the sad news is our culture is more like the unclean man than the crowd in Mark's gospel. We spend an enormous amount of our time being shocked and angry. Honestly, if you spend any time at all on social media, listen to the news, and even with certain groups of your own friends, you actually know the voice of the man with the unclean spirit. Because we inhabit a world of cynicism and snark, of hopelessness and dread. These are our demons. Those things alone, cynicism and snark, close off our imaginations. They isolate us from hope and tempt us to always believe the worst in everyone and every event that occurs around us. How many times have you seen something good and said, oh, well, that's really good, but it can't last. Now, surely the politicians down the street will figure out a way of overturning the will of the people. We know that this stuff always turns out badly. Hey, you, Holy One, fix it. I dare you. Last night, I talked about apocalypses. I have to figure out what the plural is for apocalypses. Apocalypi. And there's a real temptation when we're surrounded by the end of the world all the time. That is, you become cynical about extinction, about elimination. So the latest news story comes on. I used the example last night of plastic bottles killing us. And you kind of look at it, and you look at your plastic water bottle, and you realize that the nanoplastics there are probably not only destroying the seas and the earth, but also your own body. And you just say, oh, well, Just one more piece of bad news. That's how we can become. We give in. Oh, maybe it's just human nature. Because we don't want to hope. We don't want more disappointment. We can't take any more broken promises. We can't stand working and working and working towards the good, only to have it flash across our radar screens in a blaze of glory for just a second and then fall to earth like a star that has burnt out. We can't take any more hurt from failed hope. We can't stand being surrounded by the end of the world. Nothing will change. And you know what becomes easier in that situation? Taunting people on Twitter. And that's what I think the guy was doing. Taunting Jesus for all of those kinds of reasons. See, grifters and con men of all sorts actually know how to exploit that sense of snark and despair and hopelessness to their own advantage. Many of us, of course, and there's a lot of cultural writing on this, a lot of commentary on this, have noticed that fear is a fantastic political tool and social motivator. If you make people scared, they will vote for you. But have we ever really stopped to recognize the destructive manipulation of cynicism? So I wonder about that man with the unclean spirit. How many wannabe healers had already walked by him? How many pseudo-holy men had promised this fellow new life? How many false prophets offered to fulfill his dreams? Maybe he believed the first one. Maybe he heard something in that first one that said, yes, yes, that is good news. I know you can heal me. Nothing happened. And maybe he even trusted the second or more. Maybe he gave them money. Maybe he voted for the politician that they told him to vote for. But he believed them. And nothing changed. He was still in the ditch outside the synagogue, tormented by his demons. And so he gave up, and he just let those demons win. He probably figured he was just being realistic. Tell it like it is. Be honest with your neighbors. Adjust all those expectations downward. And ultimately, it's destructive. Hey, you, Holy One. Do something about me. Change my life. I dare you. But deep in my heart, I know you're just like all the others. I've heard this all before. So if you contrast the two stories, the story of the amazed and astonished crowd that actually is in the Gospel of Mark, and the one from my imagined gospel, something becomes very clear. Astonishment is the opposite of cynicism. Amazement reorders our world. Being amazed is the experience that proves that things do not need to be as they are. The healing, the transformation, and justice that has been long promised to us by God to the whole of the earth can actually be experienced here and now. The power of God is near. The kingdom has come, as Jesus will preach over and over and over again. The kingdom has come among you. Amazement affirms that there is more at work in the world than we usually see. And we, as God's people, need to be prepared for surprises. Astounding and amazing things are at hand. And so what if that's what gathering, say on Sunday, is about? What if the time we spend supporting, encouraging one another is about the opening of the soul, the opening of the eyes to being astonished What if faith, one of the central aspects of faith is actually amazement? Now, honestly, I do not want to be the man with the unclean spirit. I'm really tired of being him, because I fall into the same thing too. That's why I recognized it. That's why I can tell that story. I'm not telling a story about you. I'm telling a story about the temptations of my own soul that I am facing every day in this world in which we are all struggling together right now. I am tired of those demons taunting me. I am tired of those demons manipulating me. I just feel like those demons are always there on one shoulder, driving me deeper and deeper into despair. And then all of a sudden, I look and see what is happening around me. I look up and I see Jesus. And what is Jesus saying? Be silent and come out of her. And in a moment, the world is rearranged. I feel astounded and amazed. The demons, they're still there, but they fade away. They cannot stay in the presence of the one who commands them to be silent. And so I find myself dreaming of an astounded and amazed church, dreaming of an astounded and amazed community, dreaming of an astounded and amazed electorate, dreaming of an astonished and amazed group of people who are willing to know and recognize all of this pain, all of the demons that are around us, and at the very same time not give into their temptations. And instead of giving in, realizing that a new world actually is possible, that healing is at hand, run out and tell everybody they know. It doesn't have to be like this. I've seen differently. And so, I want to be astounded and amazed. And I would like to say, along with my very favorite poet, Mary Oliver, these lines. When it's over, I want to say, all my life, I was a bride married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. And I think that is Mark chapter 1, this story. Jesus, the bridegroom, taking the world into his arms, and the crowd becoming the bride of amazement. It's the gospel, it's the good news, and perhaps it is the only way out of our present darkness. Amen.